Hi everyone, this is Rav Yossi Golden. Here is this week's parenting from the Moed for Tisha B'Av, entitled Relating to Churban Beit HaMikdash. Last year, we noted the tremendous challenge that we all face each year as we approach Tisha B'Av. It is a time when we are commanded to mourn, to be sad, but no one likes to be sad. Additionally, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed thousands of years ago, and we have become accustomed to a reality without its existence. How can we truly grieve for something that we never personally had and therefore don't really miss? Rav Soloveitchik notes this challenge and suggests that the laws governing the Avilut for this time period are designed to dafka counteract this challenge. He famously points out that the progression of Avilut Yeshana, which is the mourning for the Beit HaMikdash, is the parallel opposite of the progression for Avilut Chadasha, the mourning over a close relative. Avilut Chadasha begins with its most intense form during the time of death and the Shiva, and then progressively lessens during the period of Shloshim and the Shana. In contrast, Avilut Yeshana begins with light restrictions during the 3 weeks and then intensifies during the 9 days in Tisha B'Av itself. Why the difference? Soloveitchik explains that there is a fundamental difference between the two types of mourning. Avilut Chadasha is triggered by a sudden and intense personal loss, and therefore the initial mourning is the most intense. As time goes on, the sense of mourning and sadness lessens, and therefore the halachot reflect this reality. However, notes the Rav, quote, with Avilut Yeshana there is no spontaneous reaction. The reality of the lack of a Beit HaMikdash all these years has become normal for us. There is always an equation between reality and normality. Whatever is real is normal, and whatever is normal is real. People do not look upon reality as abnormal. And so, the Avilut is much harder. There is more than a risk. There is a natural reality that over time people will forget. Thus, the mourning of Tisha B'Av has to be taught. One must understand it thoroughly and be sensitive to it. We must learn how to mourn, to wail, and weep for the Churban Beit HaMikdash, end quote. Therefore, suggests the Rav, the process for Avilut Yeshana is the opposite of regular Avilut. We need to start small and slowly build up our sense of mourning, training ourselves to feel the pain and sadness. We therefore begin with the period of the 3 weeks, intensify the mourning during the 9 days, and then hopefully enter Tisha B'Av with a heightened sense of loss and sadness. And yet, for most of us, simply observing the restriction of the 3 weeks and 9 days does not enable us to reach the proper mindset for Tisha B'Av. We need to do more to help ourselves connect. And if it is hard for us adults to connect to the sadness of Tisha B'Av, kal v'chomer, it is even harder for our children and teenagers to connect to it. Adults, due to their greater maturity and life experience, are more equipped to see beyond their personal problems and appreciate concerns of religious, national, and historical importance. They have a greater perspective on issues such as Jewish history, national legacy, and religious life, and are therefore more easily able to connect to national and spiritual tragedies. Children and teens, however, are too wrapped up in their own realities to appreciate the magnitude of such tragedies. We therefore need to work harder to help them connect to Tisha B'Av. But how can we do so? To use Rav Soloveitchik's language, how can we teach ourselves and our kids how to mourn for the Beit HaMikdash? Before we make a few possible suggestions, it's important to reiterate two principles regarding parenting in general that are very relevant here. Number one, our children will learn the most from how they see us act during these days. If our kids see us going through the motions during the 9 days on Tisha B'Av without any sincere attempt to process the sadness of the days, then even if we try to get them connected, inevitably the impact will be limited. If, however, our children see us acting differently during these weeks, if they see that we are genuinely invested in connecting to Tisha B'Av, they will be more likely to learn from our personal example. Number two, we need to be thoughtful and creative in order to help our kids connect to these days, and that takes time, thought, and energy. We should not assume that come Tisha B'Av morning, we can print out some Divrei Torah games or watch videos, and our children will suddenly connect. These activities might help pass the day, but if we want the experience to be substantively meaningful, it requires thought and preparation. We must consider the ages of our children and what types of educational tools might be most effective for each of them, and prepare accordingly. In terms of specific content or ideas that might be helpful to explore in conversations or activities with your children, here are a few possible suggestions. Number one, doubt and feeling disconnected. The biggest obstacle towards connecting to this period of mourning is the fact that we never experienced the Beit HaMikdash, and we therefore don't realize what we are lacking. One way to overcome this problem might be to consider areas in our personal lives that would be different had there been a Beit HaMikdash. For example, even as religious Jews, we all have moments where we struggle and doubt, or feel disconnected to Hashem and Judaism in general. For some of us, those feelings are more prevalent than they are for others, but everyone struggles with this on some level. And while there's no perfect antidote to this challenge, during the times of the Beit HaMikdash, there was a concrete way for us to reconnect by traveling to Yerushalayim and basking in the glory and splendor of the Beit HaMikdash. Many of us feel this deeper sense of spirituality each time we visit the Old City and the Kotel. And according to Chazal, this was but a tiny taste of what it was like to experience the miraculous aura and beauty that existed in the Beit HaMikdash. A visit to the temple imbued each individual with a profound sense of clarity and God awareness. It invested each person with a deep sense of sanctity, sanctity that would hopefully travel home with them, with that individual, and be incorporated into his daily life. So as we consider our current spiritual reality, one often based on distance, confusion, and sometimes even doubt, we should consider how different that reality would be if the Beit HaMikdash existed. Number 2, personal tragedy. The Kinot on Tisha B'Av commemorate a wide range of tragedies that befell the Jewish people throughout our history. Although they begin with a focus on the Beit HaMikdash, its glory, and the eventual destruction, later on the keynotes shift to other national tragedies and catastrophes that occurred over the course of Jewish history. Rav Soloveitchik even notes that one of the keynote describes the personal tragedy of two specific individuals, because, quote, "We do not forget the individual even in the midst of national disaster and upheaval. Even when we are telling the greatest of all disasters in our history, the Churban Beit HaMikdash," end quote. Tisha B'Av, as the Ravs and many others point out, is a day that is designated to commemorate any and all calamities that have befallen the Jewish people. Therefore, if it is hard for us to connect deeply to the lack of Beit HaMikdash, it is appropriate to connect, for us to try to connect, to a more recent national or personal tragedy, and to mourn this more recent loss within the context of the overall national mourning that we experience on this day. Number 3, personal responsibility. Our mourning on Tisha B'Av would not be complete without a reflection upon our own personal responsibility concerning the current reality in which we find ourselves. The Yerushalmi in Yoma famously says that any generation that does not rebuild the Beit HaMikdash is considered to have contributed to its destruction. The message is clear and extremely poignant. The current situation that we are in is not permanent and can be altered. And that potential change is up to us and begins with us. We tend to be very adept at pointing out the faults in others while turning a blind eye to our own failings. On this day, we are meant to shoulder the responsibility of our current reality and consider ways that we can improve ourselves, with the hope that this personal change will spur improvements in those around us as well, and ultimately lead to the future we all yearn for. Thank you all for listening and wishing everyone a meaningful Tisha B'Av.